one of the great churches in the state of New York. I've been, this year it'll be about 65 churches, I think. Plus, I lead the Senior Saint Ministry at Lighthouse, and we preach there several times during the year. And I also am in Pastor's Fellowship. Sometimes it's usually not on Sunday, obviously. There are other days. So God has been good. It's been 2022. It's been a good year. Barbara and I are very thankful for good health. We avoided COVID during all this crisis, so we're one of those who have not had it yet, and I don't want to get it either. God's been good to us. We had I had surgery last month, two of them actually, double surgery on each eye, so I have new eyes, new lenses in each eye. The cataracts were removed, and I'm able to stand and preach without glasses for the first time in 45 years or so. So it's kind of a unique thing for me, and I'm thankful for that and for the opportunity. Rise Ministry is the name of our ministry, as was mentioned. There's literature on the back table there. There are 25 topics now. The series is called The Truth About. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And you need to know the issues of our day. I think it's important that you have a reason for the answer for the reason of the hope that lieth in you. When people ask questions, I think we need to have the truth, be able to communicate the truth. And so that's what the series is about. They're not exhaustive treatments. They're only talking points, but it does give you a biblical perspective on the issues of the day. We also publish a newsletter. Many of you already get it. There are about 1,000 subscribers now that receive their Arise. It's an email newsletter. It's only sent that way. Dick Brasser is the only person I mail it to. And Dick has been in the hospital since October, Columbus Day weekend. Before that, I think the weekend before, a week before. So I haven't been mailing it out to him, but taking to him instead. So we hope to see him this afternoon, and we'll send your greetings as well.
Amen.
We also partner with churches, and preaching, of course, is the main thing. God's been good to us in opening the door. My schedule has been full. It's full right up to Christmas Day. Christmas Sunday this year, I'll be preaching at Friendship Baptist Church in Rome. They are voting this morning, may have already voted, on calling a new pastor. So that's a special blessing that they found a man. And if he's the right one, he'll get in. If he's not the right man, I hope they'll reject him. And that we're praying to that end. But I'll be there on Christmas Day. They're doing a cantata, and I'll be speaking Christmas morning. I didn't ask you, Pastor. Hopefully, you're not canceling services.
No. Amen. No.
The birthday of our Savior, you're going to close church?
Yeah, right.
I mean, people are doing this all over the state. You've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
It's a day we ought to assemble and celebrate the birthday. Maybe it's time to make Christmas more of what it should be, a celebration of the birth of Christ, instead of all some of the other stuff that goes on.
Amen.
So, God's been good. I was going to use a PowerPoint, but I think it would be distracting for a couple of reasons. The setup is such, and I'd be turning, and you might not be able to see through me. I probably couldn't. And so I wasn't sure just how that projector would put the picture. So if you just turn your Bibles to the book of John. During the Sunday school hour, I discouraged you. I'm going to do a little more discouragement to start off, because I'm going to review the 10 crises I shared with you last year. When President Biden was inaugurated, he said in his inaugural address that America was facing 6 cascading crises. And he described those as one on top of another. And if you've ever gone swimming in the ocean, you can get in a situation where a wave will knock you down, and as you're getting up, the next wave will hit you. And that's the situation we're in. Now, he listed 6. I've added 6 more, and I think we can add a couple others, but one I'm going to definitely add is we're in a religious freedom crisis. With the passage of the Respect for Marriage Act this week, we can anticipate, if it passes, and it probably will, that there may be persecution of Christians in America. It's hard to believe in America. We may well face persecution. Well, what are the crises? I'm not going to explain. COVID is certainly a crisis. That was number one on the president's list. Global warming is number 2. And that's driving the agenda both in Washington and in Albany. They're doing spending a lot of money to fix something that I don't think is broken.
Amen.
And I don't think we're responsible. I have two questions on global warming. Number one, is it real? Number two, are we responsible? And I think the answer to both of those is no. Racism is number three on the president's list. America's standing in the world was growing inequality, number three. Racism, number four. Five was America's standing in the world. And six, attack on the truth. It's been amusing to watch the left react to Elon Musk buying Twitter and threatening to just open it up for free speech. They are scared to death of free speech. I wonder why that is. Well, it's because the truth, you should know the truth. The truth will set you free. They don't want you to know the truth. My additions are abortion. We're continuing to abort babies at an alarming rate. No one's sure exactly how many. The estimates are about 1.2 million babies in America every single year. More than 10% of all abortions in the United States occur in the state of New York. That is a crisis. Border is a crisis. 234,000 people were apprehended. Right now, they said yesterday there are 2,400 illegal immigrants getting into the United States every single day. We'll have over 2 million this year if we stay on the same pace that we are right now. That certainly is a crisis. What they're doing is they're shipping them. Washington, the Biden administration shipping them all over the country and just depositing them. But when Republican governors sent 40 to Martha's Vineyard, they're all up in arms and can't handle it. So, but that's happening in communities. I mean, you're having a community have, you know, a couple thousand people dumped on them. All of a sudden, they've got to take care of the schooling. They've got to take care of, you know, housing. And it is a crisis. Plus, we don't know who these people are. They have been apprehending just Friday, I think it was, I heard a report that they had apprehended a man that was wanted for murder at the border, trying to get back into the country. And they had all kinds of other criminals as well. Drugs, fentanyl is, you know, you probably had that as a crisis, but I didn't. Inflation and the national debt, you're paying more every time you go out and buy groceries. My wife complains every week to me of the price of eggs. She says, do you know how much eggs were this week? I don't know if she's trying to get me to cut down on them.
Buy chickens.
Buy chickens. I don't think that'd go in my neighborhood. Anyway, national debt is now $31 trillion. $1 trillion. I can remember when they complained when it was $10 trillion. And both parties are spending money, and they look forward in the next few weeks. Democrats may well push through. Spending bills come from the House first, and they will push through a huge spending bill. Plus, the other thing they do is, instead of enacting a budget, they just keep extending the budget. It's due again, and if they don't renew it, then the government has to shut down, which might be a good thing for a few days. Anyway, crime is a crisis. We have prosecutors that are not prosecuting crime, and as a result, it's flourishing. And there's, you know, all kinds of things that are happening over this. We're in a constitutional crisis. The Constitution has served us very well. Our forefathers were really wise when they put it together. It was not given by inspiration of God, but was given to us by providence of God. Amen. In answer to prayer, the prayer of Americans, Christians. Bottom line, it's a spiritual crisis. It is a spiritual. America is forgetting God. The Word of God says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So I am very concerned about America. I think we may be reaching the point of no return. Unless there's a revival and a turning back to God, I think we're in big trouble. Now, the Word of God tells us God is slow to anger. So I'm thankful. Why is he slow? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
2 Peter 3:9. I'm very thankful that God is slow to patience. Otherwise, I'd have been in big trouble a long time ago, and probably you would too. Well, we need some encouragement now. I got you all depressed, so turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. I taught the Gospel of John last year at North Star Bible Institute. And I have studied the Gospel of John is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I enjoy the Gospel of John. John 3:16 was the first verse I memorized as a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That not only was the basis of my salvation, I'm one of those whosoever that believed, it also kept me doctrinally sound when I went to seminary and was taught about Calvinism and some of those things. Whosoever means whosoever.
Amen.
Okay. That's what it means. That's what it says. God so loved the world.
Right.
That's the world, not just the elect. Anyway, I love the gospel, and the Bible is such an amazing book because when you read it, sometimes you'll see something that you've never seen before. You notice that? And you're going through it, and I never noticed that before. And verse 33 is a verse that I had not noticed before. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I shall overcome the world.
Amen.
These words were written by the Lord Jesus, or said by the Lord Jesus when he was in the last night of his life on earth. They were probably said in the garden. John chapter 12 explains kind of the bridge. It goes from the public ministry of Christ to the private ministry of Christ. He's talking to his disciples. He gathers with them in chapter 13 in an upper room. And then at one point he says, let's go from here. And they make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And along the way he's speaking to them, talking to them. And this seems to be the last thing he said to them before he went off to pray great high priestly prayer in chapter 17. So he's talking with his disciples. He's been warning them that he's going to die. They have not accepted that. They have not understood that. They keep saying, no, Lord, we won't let that happen to you. We would die with you. Jesus turns to Peter and said, would you really die with me, Peter? Oh, Lord, I'd follow you anywhere. No, before the night's over, you'll deny me three times.
Yeah.
The disciples had never seen Jesus in the mood that he was in here because the Bible tells us he was exceedingly sorrowful, troubled. Jesus knew what he was going to go through on the cross. He understood fully what it meant to be crucified. You and I, in the medical term, I don't understand all that had happened, what it was, but Jesus understood. And it was not just the physical suffering that Jesus was troubled about. He who knew no sin would become sin for us.
Yeah, right.
We might receive the righteousness of God.
Yeah. Amen.
He was going to bear the sins of the whole world. We just had a wedding yesterday, and the bride and groom are here. And congratulations to them. Suppose the bride, having picked out a special dress on her wedding day, was standing at the back of the church, and somebody walked up and threw sewage all over the dress. Wouldn't it be horrible?
Yeah.
That's a little bit of what it must have been like for Jesus, who knew no sin, right, to become sin for us.
Yeah.
We really can't understand, I don't think, what it meant for Jesus to die in our place.
Right.
The price that he paid. I just don't think we can quite get our brain around it. I don't think we quite can understand it because the suffering of the cross were not just physical, they were spiritual as well. He cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the upper room, he's going to be with them one last time. This is it before he goes to the cross. He wants them to be prepared. You're going to face some tough things. You're going to have some troubled times. So he said, I've got some last-minute instructions. And we don't have time to go through all the things that he said, obviously, but I'm going to point out three things, three helpers that he said we're going to have, three things that will help us get through troubled times. We may well be facing troubled times, folks.
Yeah.
I think the Bible indicates we can expect it, and I think we ought to be prepared for it.
Right.
But I think, you know, that we have a perspective that God's working out his plan. When we look at the world and we see all these things happening, I get excited because I think, you know, the Lord's return's got to be soon.
Amen.
I think he's going to come back soon in my lifetime. I believe that. Well, what are the things? One of the things that surprised pastors when I talked to them about COVID was how many of their people were afraid.
Yeah.
Afraid of death. I talked with you about that fear last time, but turn back to chapter 14. probably has not been to a Christian funeral where you have not heard these words. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. For where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not the way. Whither thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The first thing that will help us get through troubled times is the promise of heaven.
Amen.
What happens when you die? You're a Christian. You've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. What happens the moment you close your eyes in death? Well, you open your eyes in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death really is the spirit, the soul, leaving the physical body. The body stays here, but the soul, the spirit, returns to the God who made it. For the Christian, that's a time of rejoicing. That's a time of, we are reassured. Don't be troubled, even by death, because for the Christian, to die is gain.
Amen.
Heaven. Well, what do we know about heaven? Well, eventually it's a place of resurrection. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. He's talking about the resurrection. He talked about the resurrection and death, and he says, now I want you to know we're not all going to die. We're not all going to sleep. But we shall all be changed. We're going to all get a new body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. My body's getting older. Barb says it's falling apart. I had to get new eyes this year. Barb had to get a hearing aid, so I can't see and she couldn't hear, so we figured we'd sit together. But you know, as you get older, you get a few more aches and pains. We get out of a car now, and we both had this kind of walk for until the muscles start moving again. And,
yep.
You know, I'm going to get a new body someday.
Amen.
A body that is no longer subject to sickness, no longer subject to physical ailments and things that you have to go through. I'm hoping for a slim one personally, but the Bible says it's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown mortal, but it's raised immortal. So we have the hope of heaven, which includes the promise of a resurrection.
Amen.
Heaven is also a place of reunion. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, at any funeral I've ever had, I've always used this passage of Scripture.
Amen.
Chapter 4, verse 18. Sorry, 18. Isn't that?
13.
13. That's it. Why is that? I'm not finding this on this quote. But for some reason, I'm not being able to spot it in this Bible. This new Bible, I don't have underlined. That's a problem, I guess. There it is. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Or if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain shall not prevent remain at the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of comfort in that.
Yeah.
I lost some friends because of COVID the last couple of years. You probably did too. But they knew the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm going to see them again.
Amen.
My mother and dad are in heaven. And I miss them. Every once in a while, I think, I wish I could just sit down and talk with my dad again. My mother outlived my dad by about 10 years. And on Sunday night, after I went out preaching, I'd always call her on the way home. And she'd say, "Well, how did you do? Been praying for you." I lost my best prayer partner when my mom died. She had a lot of dementia toward the end. Barb's mother came and lived with us for 4 years and became a much more important part of our family for that period of time. And she also had dementia. She used to walk up to the calendar, look at it, and would say, "Mom, what are you looking for?" She said, "Well, I'm looking to see the date that I die." I said, "Mom, that's not in the calendar." She said, "Well, I'd like to know." I'm glad I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
I'd go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to see her again.
Amen.
Heaven's a place of reunion. What a glorious reunion. Yeah. Barb's dad was our pastor for years, and I picture, you won't get this probably, but I picture Barb's dad standing at the gate of heaven and saying to his wife, "What took you so long?" You know, what a day that will be.
Amen.
Most of all, we'll see Jesus.
Amen.
We'll be reunited with him.
Right.
Only wonderful to see him.
Amen.
Facebook has been having some pictures put on what historical figures look like, and they've been putting on historical. The other day, somebody put on the historical figure what Jesus really looked like. Nobody knows. They pictured him. One picture was he was a black man. Another picture was, you know, we don't know. But we will know him.
Yes.
Amen. Huh? According to the nails in his hands. I shall know him, Fanny Crosby said. I shall know him. How? By the print of the nails in his hands.
That's right.
What a day of reunion. It'll be a day of rejoicing.
Amen.
When that trump sounds, even us Baptists are going to shout.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
I was at a church, and the pastor said that a friend of his went to a Presbyterian church, and in the song service, he raised his hands. And the usher came over and said, "We don't do that here."
Yeah.
And the guy said, "Well, I've got the Spirit." The usher said, "Well, you didn't get him here." Whether you raise your hands or don't raise your hands, that's up to you as a church. But, you know, I think there's going to be some shouting. When it says, "The Lord himself shall descend with heaven from a shout," I'm not sure it's just heaven shouting. I think it's going to be us too. As we go up, I'm going to be saying hallelujah. Praise God. Think of what he's done. Well, that reunion part. You know, there's certain people I'd like to meet in heaven. I'd like to sit down with my grandparents. My mother's side never met them. They died before I was born. They were saved at an evangelistic meeting led by George Bernard, who wrote The Old Order Cross. My grandfather was Catholic. Had never met anybody that had written a hymn, and he was curious, and George Bernard was an evangelist. He only wrote one song in his life, The Old Rugged Cross. That's it. And my grandfather and grandmother went there that night and were saved.
Amen.
One by one, my 9 aunts and uncles have been saved. I'm looking forward. They're all gone now, that whole generation. I'm looking forward to seeing them again.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of the Bible characters. I'd like to sit down and visit with Paul. I think there'll be a long line, but we're going to have an eternity. I'd like to meet Timothy and Peter and David, Moses, Elijah. What was it really like? Bart told that story to Juana about the fire falling from heaven. That must have been something to see. Elijah, could you tell us how that worked? I think that whole, it's a place of reunion, place of rejoicing. The Word of God says in Psalm 16, verse 11, that presence is fullest of joy. You know, you and I ought to have the joy of heaven now.
Amen.
Come on. We are the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. Mm-hmm. You and I need to not let the world cramp us in and make us scared and do all those things. We need to be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Well, what a day it will be. Heaven, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, a lot of people interpret that as though Jesus is in a construction business in heaven, building a mansion for you. I don't think that's what he had in mind. I think what he had in mind is he was going to the cross for you so that you and I could join him in heaven.
Amen.
I'm going away. The Lord, we don't want you to go away. What's necessary for you to go to heaven? When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say to the thief? This day thou shalt be with me in not heaven. Paradise. It's called the place of Abraham's bosom. If it was the place of heaven where God dwells, you wouldn't talk about somebody that's much lesser than God as being. No, it was in the Old Testament. Before the cross, believers went to a place called paradise. But after the resurrection, we have access to heaven, the promise of heaven.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come again. We'll get to that in just a moment. But also he said, you don't understand, it's important that I go away, because if I go not away, the Spirit will not come.
That's right.
Well, Lord, what do you mean? What I'm going to give you after the resurrection is better than what you have now. While he was on earth, Jesus could be at one place at one time.
Right.
If he was with Peter, he couldn't be across town with John. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, indwells every believer.
Amen.
The Word of God says, if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, 9. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be bond or free. You have the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. In this instance,
right.
The Holy Spirit came. So Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. The helper is going to be with you. He's going to dwell in you. And he's going to help you get through the trials of this day. Drop down to chapter 14. Let's get the right passage. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now again, this is a dispensational truth. The Holy Spirit was here in the earth before the resurrection, before the day of Pentecost. But he was with believers. He could be taken away from a believer. David in Psalm 51 said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because of his great sin, it was a real possibility. Saul had been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was taken from him. And so it was a possibility. The Holy Spirit came and enabled people to do specific tasks, but he didn't stay permanently.
Right.
But for you and I, he's not just with us, he is in us. I've circled with and in my Bible so that I remember what that reference is to. Now he's called the Spirit of Truth. So the Spirit of God comes into our life when we're saved to help us to understand the truth. He is there to guide us in the Scriptures. The Bible's a different book than anything else you'll ever read, because when you read it, the Spirit of God is in you. The author's right there to help you understand it. In fact, if he doesn't help you understand it, you won't comprehend it. You need his instruction. Now, he lists some other things that he's going to do. He's going to help us in our witness. If you drop down to verse 26, chapter 15, 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit has come into our life, that now he help us live for God, but also to witness for him. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit dwells in us to help us with our witness. Now, how's that work? Well, he lays a burden on your heart for somebody. Haven't you ever had the experience of thinking, boy, I need to call so-and-so? And you call them and they said, well, I was just praying that somebody would call today. The Holy Spirit did that. Philip was led to over to the wilderness to talk to one man. That's how the Spirit of God works. He'll bring somebody to your mind that you need to talk to. Then he'll help you. You don't know what to say. Don't worry about it. He'll help you. Now, it's a good idea to have a plan of presenting the gospel. It's good to have training in that area. But you need to depend on the Spirit of God. He'll give you the right words.
Amen.
As you're witnessing, have you had the right verse come to your mind?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with that is it has to be in you before it can come out of you.
That is right.
So you do have to memorize some scripture along the way. But the Holy Spirit can bring to remembrance. Bring to remembrance. If I was one of the disciples, I would say, Lord, you're going to trust your entire mission to us.
Yeah.
And I'd look around and say, these guys are not, high caliber guys.
Come on.
There's Thomas, the denier. There's John who wants to lean on Jesus' breast. What's that about? There's Peter who's so volatile. And, there's Matthew, he was a tax collector. How are you going to entrust us to this mission? Yeah, because the Holy Spirit's going to come in each of their lives and change their lives.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Furthermore, I would be asking, how can I remember all this stuff? For 3 years they've been taught by Jesus. How am I going to remember? Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance.
Amen.
Amen.
We have the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as a fulfillment of that promise. So we have a wonderful helper.
Amen.
I think a lot of Christians kind of ignore the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father, we pray to the Son, and we kind of forget the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right.
Romans tells us that the Spirit of God prays for us, intercedes for us. We don't always know how we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life.
Amen.
You understand that? You can't do this, friend, on your own.
Right.
You'll fail every time. But the Spirit of God can enable us. He gives us power, strength, and wisdom. What a wonderful friend. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Spirit will not come. What we have, Peter says, is better than being eyewitnesses. Remember, he talks about the inspiration of Scripture. He talks about the Word of God there. But he says, we have something better, a sure word of prophecy. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in us and will never leave. We're sealed under the day of redemption. What a wonderful helper. And then there's a hope. A hope. Look at chapter 16, verse 33 again. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Peace. Why would we have peace? Even though we're to expect trouble. Because Jesus said in me that you should have, in the world you shall have tribulation, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now he's talking prophetically because he hasn't yet gone to the cross. But if you read through the chapter, for instance in chapter 14, the passage we already read, if I go away, I'll do what? Come again. Death is not the end.
Right.
You see, for the disciples, for the next 3 days, they're going to be in panic mode because they think their world has collapsed.
Right.
Luke chapter 24, there's two heroic men on the road to Emmaus. A stranger comes up, it's Jesus, and he says to them, why is your countenance fallen and you're so sad? And they say to him, have you not heard? Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He's dead. Jesus said, the world will rejoice. But your joy, and you will have sorrow.
Yeah.
But your sorrow will be turned to joy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Our sorrow is in this life.
That's right.
Not the next.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The world may be getting ahead. You may be envious of some neighbor that's cheats on his taxes or gets away with violating the law or whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, the only pleasure they had is in this world.
Right.
That's right.
You and I, the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
You heard about the lady probably that was buried and had requested her pastor that he put a fork in her hand.
Oh, yeah.
And as she made the request, she said, "Why in the world do you want a fork in your hand?" She said, "Well, whenever we have a fellowship dinner, the desserts, they always say, keep your fork because desserts are coming.
Amen.
I know the best is yet to come."
Amen.
And so when people walk by my casket, I want them to see that fork and know that I believe the best is yet to come.
That's good.
What a day that would be. Well, here's a poem to end. God has not promised. Sky's always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the day, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. God hath not promised, we shall not know, toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us that we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Jesus himself said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We're on the winning side.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great church. We thank you for the many children, the young families. We're thankful for the older folks as well that have demonstrated their faithfulness over the years. We pray, God, you continue to keep your hand upon Pastor and Mrs. Fenton. And we pray, God, that you would continue to bless this church, this ministry. Lord, I pray for that Christian that's here, that's discouraged and fearful. I pray, Father, that you'll help them today to realize that you've given them a promise of heaven, a promise of help, and the promise of hope. The hope, the confidence, that it's all going to turn out right. Jesus Christ himself will return to earth and set up his kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Father, I pray for those who may be here that do not know Christ as Savior. They too will face tribulation in this world. They have some trouble as well and difficulties. Help them to understand that you love them. You died that they might have the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.